You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Jeremiah. And in the light of a Sunday morning message, in the light of that, adding to that, if I may. So, in Israel, the 10 tribes in the north have gone into captivity under the Assyrian king, Assyrian Empire. That's over 100 years ago. So when Jeremiah comes along with the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes, it's over 100 years. And Israel has learned little of nothing in that 100 and something years. They didn't learn a lot. In fact, they picked up and continued the wrong direction instead of changing anything. So when you come to Jeremiah chapter 2, going back, you know we did all these things, but in chapter 2, picking up, if I may, in verse 11. This is talking about Jeremiah that in Israel, Jerusalem, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye desolate, saith the Lord. In other words, it's an awesome thing in creation, looking down on planet Earth, of what Israel has done, what they have done. And he tells all of creation, look down, it's a horrible thing that they have done. What is the horrible thing? Verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and substituted in and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. So they rejected water. Think of Israel being kept 40 years in the wilderness, as it were. They rejected God and chose to use their own system, their own ingenuity, to survive. Sliding down, verse 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. I'm looking, remember we shared all fear, the fear of God. It's missing. Where is the respect and honor to who I am? I'm the only God, and I should be recognized as the only God and the only Savior. They weren't doing that. Now, having said that little bit, the result of their rejection and putting aside God, chapter 2, verse 27. Saying unto, this is what they're doing now, saying to a stock idol, thou art my father, this is to an idol, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they shall say, arise and save us. In other words, they turned around, instead of being face to face with God, they turned their back to God. And in turning their back to God, they rejected God and turned away from him. And then, when push came to shove and things were bad and all of the solutions failed, then you go and look to God. And God said they're going to turn. They trusted their idols, they trusted their system. But when all of that fails, they're going to turn around and turn to me. Verse 28. But where are thy gods that thou hast made, that thou hast made thee? Let them arise. If they can save thee, in the time of thy trouble. For according to the multitude, according to the number of thy cities, are thy gods, O Judah. So, look to you. God says, all right, you wanted to trust your system, then trust your system. And don't look to me, said God. Leave me out of it. Now, all the years go by as we shared, and Israel is going to be in trouble. And on its way there, they rejected God. I'm going to pick it up, but before I do, Jeremiah chapter 30. And when you reject God, you're going to be in trouble. Not only in the distant future, in the tribulation. And so when we come to chapter 30 and in verse 5, for thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. In other words, we're looking for a solution, but it isn't coming. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Verse 7. Alas, for that day, think of in travail and struggle. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, and he shall be saved out of it. Awesome, awesome tribulation. Now, so Israel rejected God's help, so Nebuchadnezzar took down the city and took down the temple. And they went into captivity. That's what they did. And the future is Israel. I'm going now, moving through time, going way back there in history with Jeremiah, and sliding forward. I'm going to go all the way ahead, a few days ahead now, into the tribulation. And they aren't going to be ready for it. It's coming, but they just aren't ready for it. Hang on to that. You think they might be ready, but no, time has gone on, and they're settled in without paying attention to what God has said, and they aren't turning the pages to see how it's going to go. They just close the book, and they don't know the future. They don't want to know the future. So now, over if you can, in Daniel chapter 2. And in Daniel chapter 2, you're going to recall Daniel's image in the plain of Dura, a man, image of gold, etc. And in the process of all of that, the captivity. So in the captivity, Israel is captive, and in the process, God is going to go and do a wonderful thing with Israel. But before God begins the times of the Gentiles, he already starts them. The minute Nebuchadnezzar lowers gets rid of the temple, gets rid of the city, takes them captive. Once that happens, then God, all the times of the Gentiles are going to go right down like clockwork. But before that, and during that time, there's a little space, and Israel is given space. Remember, God told them that they'd be 70 years in captivity, and God would send them back to the land of Israel. So God cleans house and empties Israel, Jerusalem. And 70 years later, God allows some of the Jews to go back, that wants to go back to Jerusalem. And they do a wonderful thing. They do it. They try to do the best they can. Over, if you would please, now to Ezra. I'm going to come back to Daniel. Don't let Daniel go away. And going back over to Ezra, This is the 70 years now. And in the process, God sends them back after 70 years, and Ezra and Nehemiah are there, among others. And in the process of that, God does a wonderful thing. He gives them grace. They don't have the temple of Solomon. The temple has no ark. The temple has no glory. But it's a temple. It's a temple. And it's something, a remembrance of worship. It's not what it should be, but it's there. Now, and they have that. And they're surrounded by people that are making waves all the time for them. So now in Ezra, they awaken to the fact that they're not going to be there very long. They're conscious of, before that, in the days of Jeremiah, before the city was taken, they had no consciousness of time and the brevity, the shortness of time. They just didn't pay attention. But now they're very conscious, back with the little temple, and they're just little people compared to the nation. Jeremiah chapter 9, therefore you're going to read, and you'll remember it, chapter 9 and verse 8. What did they want? Now, for a little time, space, verse 9, chapter 9, verse 8. Now for a little space, grace hath been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, the temple, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Now they recognized that everything wasn't super duper, but they recognized that. Too bad they didn't do that over 100 years, all the years before that, but they didn't do it. Verse 9, we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. In other words, we got a little bit going for us. And sliding over to verse 14. And should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Do we need to tie up with all that's going on to get by and to make it? No. Should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Would not thou be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? In other words, are we going to go and do the same old thing everyone else does in the same old way? Verse 15, O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, and we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. So God, here's Ezra, you guys are humbled. That's right, we are humbled. The same Ezra, and then Nehemiah comes along and joins him for a little bit. Ezra stays around a while. Nehemiah chapter 9. And the mood and the attitude stays the same. Picking up in verse chapter 9, Nehemiah verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee that thou hast done upon us, on our kings, our princes, our priests, our prophets, our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the king of Assyria, that's over 300 years ago. You have been gracious to us. The 10 tribes went into captivity in the north, and we didn't pay attention. We didn't pay attention. And for all of these years, here they are after Nebuchadnezzar, and here they are saying, God, we just never got it. We never clicked and learned anything. We just didn't do it. Now, having said that little bit, over to Daniel chapter 2. So Israel had a little space, and they acknowledged it. And they were destined, as all humans are, since we keep going downhill. We don't have to, but we do. And Israel, Malachi comes along, and then 400 years of nothingness, as it were. Daniel chapter 2. Picking up, please. Now, here's the times of the Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles are going to take place. And in the process of all of that, in chapter 2, you're going to have verse 31, and you go all the way through the head of gold and all of those different things. And in the process, as you slide along, here we are looking, and the movement goes, if you would, picking verse 42, and as the toes of the feet are part iron and part of clay, so the kingdoms shall be partly strong and partly forsaken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with iron, miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. In other words, it's going to be all mixed up. It won't be solid iron. It won't be solid clay or mud or dirt. It'll all be mixed up, strong and weak. But they shall not cleave one to another. No, that doesn't. They're all loose. Nations are all, aren't they all united? No, they're divided. Every nation has its ups and downs and ins and outs. And until they all, ultimately. Even so, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest, the stone was cut, in other words, the next kingdom, that kingdom is God's kingdom, our Lord Jesus Christ. For as much as thou sawest that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, God did it, and that it break in pieces, it judged all other nations, with iron, brass, clay, silver, and gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. In other words, the times of the Gentiles are going to go right in order. And I want you to note, you go from the feet of iron and clay directly to the 10 toes. And the 10 toes, the United European Community, the 10 nations, as you know, and then at the in the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, our Lord's going to come. Now hang on to that. Also, while we're thinking and have it, Daniel chapter 4. That's a history's outline. You don't have to question it. It's just going to happen. It has happened. It is happening. We're already in the feet of iron and clay. And the next thing, and we're already talking about it in the world, the 10 units, 10 horns, the 10 units over there in Europe, European Empire revived. That's what we're looking at. We don't have to need the Bible. That's what we're looking at. Hang on. Daniel chapter 4, just a little note. God telling us about all of these kingdoms coming along one after another. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent, to the purpose, that the living, that's people like us living on earth, may know what? That the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest, the lowest of men. In other words, God's in charge of who's going to be where, when. The devil's busy, hang on, doing all that. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, moving into the end of the 400 years and John the Baptist, etc., and we're going to come along, and our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come along. And in the process, born in Bethlehem of Judea, and he has 3 1/3 years of public ministry, and the 3 1/3 years of the public ministry, how do we look at them? What kind of success did he have after 3 1/3 years? They rejected it, didn't they? They rejected the whole thing. They rejected it, rejected it, rejected it. And then they said, crucify him. Didn't they? That's what they said. So I'm interested, history, moving along. And God, you tried to be 70 years and you gave him a little space after that with Ezra and Nehemiah. And it didn't do much good. No, it didn't. Didn't do any good. They still rejected. And to see the implication of that rejection, Matthew chapter 27. And in Matthew chapter 27, to show you the impact, so you don't say, oh, well, so what? No, it isn't a so what. It's a little more than so what. Now, Matthew 27, we're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate, etc., and Barabbas and all of that. Now, sliding along, remember now they're going to go, for time's sake, they're going to go, and I'll read verse 22 just for a little. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they say unto him, let him be crucified. Now, and his wife told Pilate, she said, I would get out of this quickly. But he didn't do it. And therefore, the awesome statement, verse 25. I'll read the end. I have to read verse 24 to get it. Hang on with me. Pilate saw he could not prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. A whole lot of noise, a whole lot of riot, a whole lot of everything. How are you going to fix anything? You make so much noise and violence and everything, we can't fix it. Uh-huh. How are we going to fix it? We can't even talk about it. And that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye do it. See ye to it. Then answered all the people, verse 25, and said, his blood be on us and on our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, all the way into Jacob's trouble, into the tribulation. Israel, why can't you get right? They said, you do whatever you want, but Pilate, we'll take it all blame on ourselves, and his blood be on us and our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, his blood be on us. Where are we today? Where's Israel? Ah. Why can't Israel get fixed? Israel has cursed itself. God's going to fix it. The great tribulation will do that. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, and so here's the USA comes along, and Christ is crucified, etc., and the time that we're living in the process, that we're looking to God, and in our Judeo Christianity, Declaration, Constitution. Here we are in our American position, and God was demonstrating his grace after the crucifixion, and that's what he's doing. He's going to show, the only sign he's going to show is the sign of his resurrection. He's only going to show his grace. Where's he going to show his grace? Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. When you receive him as your Savior, you'll receive God and his grace. Just John chapter 1, 14, 15, 16, 17. How much grace did you receive? How many pounds of grace? You received all of grace in God, the God of all of grace, in Christ. That's why we are stewards of the dispensation of grace. We have endless grace. That's why 1 John 1:16, we go from grace, we've received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Hang on, grace. What are we doing? We're demonstrating grace to the world. That's what the church is doing. Now we know 3 1/3 years, they rejected it. What do we know so far? We're as a nation, 244 years old. Very, very, very young nation. We're just a little baby born. Why did you allow the pilgrims to come? Why did you allow us to exist? As no other nation. Israel, his blood be upon us. So forget Israel. God, and you're going to show his grace by the whosoever's that believe by your body, the body, the temple, the believers, you're going to show it. That's right. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show my grace. What do you mean? Remember the flower we had, dandelion, tiger lily, whatever it is. And in the process of that, they're going to show, what are we doing? We're demonstrating the wonderful presence of God in the person of Christ, to whom we should all belong as a body. That's what we're doing. So all the world could pay attention. We leave the house, we go to back home, we come back in and out. Where are they going? They're going to church again. That's right. Wow. Now, having said that, what about this 244 years? The pilgrims, Declaration, Constitution, wanted for a while. But, like the Israel, we start out all right as a country, as a nation. Our nation is what? Demonstrating by declaration, by the Constitution, we're demonstrating God's grace in the person of Jesus Christ. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, looking at that, now what about it? What has happened to the grace of God in the person of Christ as the sole Savior, the only God, the only Savior? It's been rejected. Rejected early on, 100 AD, already started to play, messing with it, messing with the order, the elders, the deacons, and everything, and messed it all up. And went through the Reformation and everything, and we tried to recover, but we never recovered. We covered a little bit, but a little. Do we really recover? No, we broke up into all Roman Catholicism, the umbilical cord, the Mother Church, Roman Catholicism, broke up, and the umbilical cord was there, and all the churches went out like this, little babies, but we never cut the umbilical cord in the system. That's why Revelation 17 is going to take place. Where are we going to go? We aren't going to go to Presbyterian, Baptist. No. Oh, there's only one unifying church. That's Rome. Back to Rome. Revelation 17. We have to go back. That's the only way we can get together. Hang on. Now, so this rejection. So here we are, and instead of being received the grace of God, instead of being people honoring and standing upon the Declaration, etc., and men and women fought and died for it, so that we could have that. Well, here we are, move right through, and it's rejection. So now, having said that little bit, and moved, and like Israel had Ezra and Nehemiah, well, we had the United States up to a point. We had it, and we have it. As history has traveled along, and in the process of all of that, country, as we know it, let me do it quickly because our time's on. If you went to the 50s, communism was back then. I remember that because I was California in that. And in the process, with Dr. Schwartz, I have all of his stuff. He came over from Australia to try to help America cope with communism that was coming. Try to help them understand. And we did all that. But communism never went away. But it calmed down a little bit. The 60s came along. In the 60s, of course, the baby boomers outnumbered 70 million of them over to the regular older people, 43 million. And the baby boomers were so powerful and had everything, all these things again. And because of the parents gave them whatever, they didn't want to go through war, etc. And in the process, what happened? Well, the cultural, what did it do? It affected our education. It affected the government. It affected missions. It affected everything. It changed everything. When did we fix that? We never did. 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, here we are. And in the process. And what did it do? What did that cultural drugs and music and all of those different things they did? Well, but it was an event that produced what? Where we are now. What did the virus do? What did the virus do? Just like the baby boomers. It led to what? It wasn't a reason. We got all caught up. We're caught up in it. The global conditions caught up in it. China knows that. And China knew what? It makes all the ingredients for medical stuff. It had control. So it kept it and sent it out. And it has what? Disrupted. Just like the baby boomers. What's that? It's a virus. No, the virus is not now. It's what's the result? Everything else has come to the front. Think of the platform of the other party and the And the 110-page doojiggy of their edict that they're going to do. You don't have to guess. You know what they're going to do. So here they are. That could never be like this. It would have been more subdued. But they've been let loose, and it isn't going to go away. It's not going to go away. And so in the process, you have that, and to add, without even doing it, you have the great cover-up. And I would tell you, you could go way back to the governor that became president without telling you anymore. And you ever followed that? What a trail. All the way up to today, the trail. And anyone that gets in the way, remember that? You know it. Anyone ever? But they never repeat it, do they? They never repeat all those little incidents. If you kept them, watch them, they come out, and you never hear them again. You never hear them again. Because no one can oppose the direction they're going. There are no rules. You're playing a game with people that don't care rules. They don't have anything. Communism doesn't have rules. It just does. It's out to win. That's what it's going to do. Do you understand? It doesn't care about how it's done. Now, our time's gone, but do you understand? So in the process, and then you've got China coming along, And China comes along, and what's China doing? Well, in the Twin Towers in September 1, 2001, I guess I was told, to remind the date, China was given free access as a nation to be able to trade and buy and sell without any penalties, without any expense, and they were given. They have the biggest navy. They have over 2 million men. Wall Street invest trillions of dollars into Chinese companies. Trillions of our dollars. That's where your money's. That's where they're counting on China to provide everything. They're counting on it. So if you're looking for them to support America's great, forget it. They can't do that. No, can't do that. And you know, all those different things. Schools, everything. Thousands and trillions. It's horrible. Now, having said that a little bit, just so you know, what are we up against? We're up against odds that are overwhelming. How are you going to beat this system? Well, join it. But that's what Israel goofed. They got into idolatry. We don't want to join nothing. No, sir. No, sir. But we need to understand it, and it is overwhelming, and it is going to, and the godless communism is going to, and socialism, etc., is the Declaration, Constitution, all of that is down the tubes. All you need is a little time. If God may give us a little more time, maybe, maybe not. But do you know how hard it is to fight in the world system, to do it right, when the devil's in charge, and you want in heaven, you're right here. And the whole world, the whole ball, this whole planet is under the God of this world. And he has everything in his favor. And the only thing that allows things to go is God's timing. Because we read in Daniel chapter 2, the feet of iron and clay, right? Feet of iron and clay are going to become, turn into the 10 toes of iron and clay. The 10 toes are European, the revived Roman Empire. Where is the United States? In that timetable. It isn't, because the United States was allowed to rise up to be a demonstration of the grace of God. And when the grace of God is rejected, what is going to happen? God's going to take us, what? Up. That's what God's going to do. And then the toes have to work. What's stopping it? Well, God is, here we are, we're just little old people, believers, hither and yon across the face of the earth. Now, and so therefore, in the light of everything, the virus has come along and been the trigger to give way to our economic and political consequences that we don't like. But that's what it did. Virus opened the door. And all of it, what's it doing? It's eating up your position of declaration, patriotism, all crowds, yay! But you're up against a movement that has no rules and is bent on overcoming. And the God of this world is bent. We shared it on Sunday, I guess. God is what bent? What is the devil bent on? Is he bent on overcoming? Is he bent on honoring communism? No. Is he bent on honoring socialism? No. What's he bent on? Having a temple in Jerusalem. That's what he's bent on. And he's going to use all of that. And what's going to trigger it? Back to China. Here's China, aggressive China. And I mean aggressive, and I mean they're big time in 100 ways. Wow. And we can't stop them. I don't think so. I don't think so. Because we can't stop, we can't even fix the corruption in Washington. We can't even fix that. And if the thing goes the wrong, no one way here, we're never going to put anyone on trial about anything. When the highest level of everything has produced the worst bad stuff, and we're living in it, and we're never getting out of it. And if it doesn't, if it goes one way, they're going to wipe it off. You'll never see it. You'll never see it. They're all clear-cut, pardoned, you're all done. And all of the reports we're waiting for, I'll bet you never see them. I bet you never see them. They don't want anyone seen. So it's an awesome time. So we're just little guys. And what I'm trying to say is, China's going to what? We're going to have to go down. This is down. We aren't no declaration. We aren't the greatest nation. We aren't going to be the nation and ally of Israel because we aren't able to be Israel's ally. So Israel is going to have to do what? What God said, Daniel 9:27. They're going to have to make a treaty with the European Union, the Antichrist. We're not going to help Israel. We aren't going to help them. No, they have to go up to Europe. So we have to be put on the shelf, down low, in order for all of that to happen. You understand? And China's going to be a trigger to stir up Europe. Europe doesn't want to become, is competitive with China. And so China can't own everything. So the European Union, Mediterranean area, all of that gets together. And that's where the Antichrist comes from. You got to rise up to oppose what's happening. Wow. Wow. Now, we just chattered a lot, I'm afraid. Over, if you would, please. I hope you got a little bit. I'm just trying to tell you, be of good cheer. I don't know how it's going to go. I do know how it's going to go. So do you. I just told you how it's going to go. It's just whether we got a fuel of space, that's all. It's just whether we have any space. And do you think anybody cares? Oh, boy, I can't even get to that. Do you know, if the Lord were to come, just talk to you. If the Lord were to come right now, do you think the world would be all upset that have big meetings in Washington? Where are they? Where did she go? She didn't show up for her dentist appointment. I mean, right? In the tribulation, Matthew 24, turn there, we're right there, if you're, I'm still in 24, so 27. Over to chapter 24. You know it, but just put it together. All of these things make it so easy for you to see them. Wow. And it has to be. All we are is servants. And the timing is God's. God, whatever you want, you're a boss. We'd like a little, but God says, maybe not. But it's evil, it's bad. You bet it is. And God would say to you, well, where is the good, by the way? Right? He said, where do you want to go and look and find good? Oh, we'll go over to Austria. No, see? Canada. Oh, Mexico. No, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? God said, listen, if you're looking for that, it's bad, it's lousy. He didn't say that. You don't use that word. It's not good. It's not good. Matthew 24, in the tribulation, God, would you please tell me the attitude of the people? You would think, remember, they reject, they aren't paying attention to what's happening. Matthew chapter 24, going, if I can, verse 37. But as in the days of Noah, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what is that like? For as in the days that were before the flood in Noah's day, 120 years, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, it got evil, remember Genesis 6? They get evil, 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 worse. Bad, 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 bad. Doesn't get better. But you know what? They did all the normal stuff. They went and got pizza at Joe's Pizza Shop. They watched something on a thing. They watched a football game. Oh, the world's what it is. What it is. It's communist wherever you want to live. It's what it is. Verse 19, 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So what's the tribulation like? God's never coming. We're going to do what we do, even if we fight him, even with all the bad stuff. No, we can keep going. So the pizza shop got knocked off. Well, we'll do the next thing. And we'll do whatever. And we just keep moving along. That's what we're going to do. That's what you're going to do. As in the days of Noah, when you thought everything was normal. Normal. What's normal for you? What's your normal life? You see? Go to bed, get out of bed, go to work, whatever, school. Normal life. It's normal. And in the day, one of those normal days in the tribulation, when you think you can just keep batting away and you're coming on a head-on collision with God. Do you understand? And you're going to collide with me, and the clock is ticking by, and you are not going to believe it until it happens. You're not going to believe when the church goes? No. Christ crucified? Do you believe that we crucify God? Who believes they crucify God? Apart from believers, right? People don't talk about they crucify God. When's the last time you heard that? They don't do that. No, they don't. They aren't even interested in that. So the reality, we're down, we're very earthbound, and we just don't catch anything. So therefore, over in closing, if I can, 1 John chapter 2. I appreciate your bearing with me. I would love to just whatever, but all I can do is tell you a couple of things, because I think it's a horrible time myself. And if I wasn't a believer, I'd get depressed. That's what I'd tell you. That's what I'd do. I'd go and have a big depression. And I'd go on drugs. Drugs will solve everything. I'm just kidding. No, sir. No, but people don't know any better. How did you get this kind of voting? Because you don't see. Because the media blocked out every dumb, all the evil, all the stuff that's real. You aren't going to let us see it or understand it. And we just see personalities and we don't see what's really happening. Because you don't want us to. That is the system. And that's what we did. But one day, we're going to have to see. And we can't keep making believe every day is the same and it won't make any difference. But it will. It will. And when we join the United States, yields, Europe, and the Antichrist, when he takes over, wow. Now, 1 John 2 and 18, you know it. And appreciate your patience and God give you an extra night's sleep, that is. Every hour will double itself so that 1 hour's sleep will give you two. Does that come out right? 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it's the close of the turn of the century. Last living apostle. Little children, verse 18, it's the last time. And as you've heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. Now that's way back in 180. And we've advanced. You'd say we've recovered. No, we didn't go up. All God did was salvage little groups of people as the thing kept getting corrupted, ultimately Rome and all of that. And now what we got? We got Protestantism with no protest. We're locked into a handful of believers hither and yon across planet Earth that are looking to God. And what are they looking for? Over, if you would, to Revelation. Revelation, for time's sake, chapter 22. You know what? I read it. It's where it is. God, what? And how do you? God gave us the timetable, the times. We don't have to guess in anything. We got the pieces. We know how it has to go. And the United States isn't in that. The United States is just a little example of grace for a little while to hold until what? Wrath. Grace until wrath. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I come, present tense, quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. Verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophet. In other words, we ought to understand this stuff. This prophecy of this book. For the time is at hand. It's near. That's near. And if you read the beginning of Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 3, what are you going to tell us at the very when you start at Revelation? The time is near. How are you going to end the Revelation? The time is near. That's how I'm going to end. God, here I am. Here we are. And what are we going to do? We're going to pay attention. We got the book. We got the outline. We got where it's going to go, why it has to go, how it's going to go. God, you're going to have to make it all come out as it ought to, and you will in your wonderful timing. Chapter 22, and picking up, if I can, in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. That's what we're reading them right now. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So the Lord Jesus said, listen, I'm the answer. And how are you going to close? You going to say any more? Nope, I'm all done. All done. Close the book. Pay attention to what's in it. Don't walk away from it. And don't think it's going to disappear. It's all going to be like I said it was. Verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely, surely, I come quickly. I'm coming quickly. See? Now, how are you going to end it for us? God said, listen, I have the time and the timetable and the times. I just want you to pay attention that I'm coming. The timing is mine. The nations, the world system, the devil himself that is pursuing the temple and Israel and his image, all of that's happening. But in the meantime, you're walking with me, walk in the light as thou is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we walk in the light down the corridor of time, and that's what we're doing. That's all. David said, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness. Right, what are we doing? Walking? Or living? We're living. What are we doing? We're demonstrating the grace of God. What do you mean? You're saved. How did you get saved? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. That's what you did. You got saved. Angels looking, good guys, bad guys. What do we know? We're saved. How do we get saved? By the grace of God. The person of Jesus Christ. And what's he tell us? I'm coming quickly. So, were we with him? He doesn't have a watch. Do you know that? God has no watch. But he doesn't go by time. He goes perfectly, everything in right order. At the exact moment, the election and who's who and when, God, you're going to allow that? I am. As lousy as it may be, as wrong as it could be, I may allow it. But you see, I'm not trying to save them. I saved you. You are my demonstration of my grace. The system I'm not saving. The system's working itself out. And it has to work itself out. And USA has to drop down. And Europe has to, and we have to yield because we're socialism, communism, the platform, all of that will come to pass. All of it cripples us and makes us very subservient to China, subservient to Europe, to everybody. And God, you're going to allow it. I am. I wish I could help more. Now, you can't get depressed. You understand? If you're saved. Because you are demonstrating what? Grace. How do you enjoy grace and be depressed? Are you ready? How do you enjoy being saved and be depressed? That's my question. You ever try it? How do you laugh and cry at the same time for someone? How can you be joyous in your heart and terribly depressed and defeated? You can't. You can't. So God, what did you tell us? Count it all joy when you what? Fall into what? The lousy situation that you're facing. Count it all joy. Yeah. I didn't ask you to fix it. God never asked us to fix it. God asked us to be a testimony. God help us.